Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, speaking to you today from a warm but cloud-covered Vancouver, and have the good fortune of comparing weather notes, though, with a colleague from the other side of the continent where they're getting hit by a lot more freezing temperatures. The voice you'll hear momentarily is Daphna Stromza, who's at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and a clinical lecturer in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology and a fellow with the National Clinician Scholars Program. And I've called Daphna to speak about a paper that Daphna and colleagues have coming out in the April issue of Medical Education that's titled Transphobia Rather Than Education Predicts Provider Knowledge of Transgender Healthcare. Thank you, Daphna, for taking the time to speak on such a cold day in Michigan.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have the opportunity to talk with you, in part because this is a powerfully unique way of looking at issues of knowledge gain or retention in health professional education. But before we get into those details of your paper, I should probably start by just asking you to explain to those listening from around the globe what sort of health inequities for those with transgender and gender diversity led you to believe that this was an important issue to take on?
Yeah, so we know that from both non-academic publications as well as a variety of academic publications, we know that transgender people and gender diverse people face a host of social disparities and specifically health disparities. And we also know that many of the health disparities actually arise from within the healthcare system itself. And so, for example, my colleagues and I have found that trans people who have had a negative experience when accessing care with their healthcare provider, for example, trans people who have had to teach their provider about trans care, were more likely to avoid care, so to not get the care that they needed, presumably because they anticipated that would not be a positive experience. So we have plenty of data that providers lack knowledge in trans health and that those issues have consequences on trans people. So I think it's really important that we better understand what our limitations are so that we can fix them.
And can I ask you just to elaborate a little bit more on what you knew coming into this project in terms of the causes of those inequities? Transphobia is the first word of your title. It won't surprise many of our listeners to hear that, you know, physicians and other healthcare providers are as susceptible to those things as the general population. But I wonder if I can ask you to speak a little bit more on what's known about the way healthcare practitioners are supporting or contributing to the problems for this population.
Sure. So we have data from both patient perspectives and provider perspectives on this. We know that a lot of patients, transgender people, report that they had to teach their provider on transgender health in order to get the care they needed. So that data, for example, the U.S. Transgender Survey, which was a large survey by the National Center for Trans Equality, showed that trans people had to teach their provider about transgender health. About a third of trans people had negative experience when accessing care, and about a quarter had to teach their provider about trans health in order to get the care they needed. So we have that data on the patient side. And from the provider side, there are a variety of studies showing us that learners, both medical education in medical schools, residents in training, and practicing providers in primary care professions, in OBGYN, many providers feel incapable, inadequately prepared to care for transgender people. And some providers also report what I would call emotional barriers to caring for trans people. Of course, in all these surveys, these are cross-sectional surveys usually, so we can't establish causality, but we can say that there are reported barriers that providers talk about in caring for transgender people.
Thanks. The reason I asked you to elaborate on that and appreciate what you've just explained is I think with a lot of these things, especially those of us working in an education role, we can jump to the assumption that they just haven't been taught well enough or we haven't built this deeply enough into our curriculum. One of the things that intrigued me about this article is you've tried to measure practitioners' knowledge of the health issues that transgender and gender diverse people face, but seemingly with the goal of determining what is actually predictive of those who score well on knowledge outcomes and those who don't. And so what sorts of variables were you trying to consider? What variety of possible predictors were you anticipating might actually help explain who knows a lot in this area versus who needs to know more?
Sure. And let me actually jump back for a second and say that we do have information that teaching on transgender health specifically and LGBT health in general is insufficient in medical schools and training, etc. There are quite a few studies showing that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think the biggest question is what kind of care are providers in practice capable of giving to trans people? And so we wanted to look at, first of all, not just learners in medical school and in residency, but people in practice. And we wanted to look at actual knowledge scores using a reproducible measure. Our basic hypothesis was that more hours of education would be associated with higher knowledge scores. And we controlled for a variety of potential confounders, so demographics, age, gender. We also looked at religion and cultural background, etc., and professional characteristics. So what kind of a provider you are? Are you an advanced practitioner? Are you a resident? Are you a physician in practice? How many years you've been in practice? We looked at all of those. We also controlled for self-directed education, so reading and that sort of activity, which is a lot of our education once we're in practice is self-directed. And so we controlled for those. We also looked at contact with trans people. We asked people if they've had a trans patient that they've cared for, etc.
There's a wide variety and really nicely represents, even before we disclose your findings, a model for how the knowledge that we gain or are able to put into practice is likely to be mediated by any number of other things. And so without keeping people in suspense much longer, what did you see that surprised you, or what would you say is the dominant result that people need to know about?
So our surprising finding was twofold. Not only did hours of education not correlate with providers' knowledge of trans health, but of all these potential confounders and predictors, the only element that predicted providers' knowledge is their level of transphobia. We measured transphobia using a previously validated gender attitudes scale. So people who had more transphobic or more what is called genderistic approaches had lower knowledge scores, and that was irrespective of the hours they spent in education, reportedly either formal or informal education.
So on one hand, that's fascinating to me because it often feels like a simple way out whenever people talk about the amount of knowledge possessed by a group of professionals to say, you know, we need to teach it more. It needs to be a bigger part of our curriculum. But this suggests that there's another very real factor that needs to be considered. On the other hand, it likely is the case that people default to saying we need to teach it more, in part because that's something that's clear in terms of how one might intervene. Having found that transphobia is a stronger predictor, what does one do about that? How are you trying to take these results forward to improve upon the situation?
Sure. So, of course, our findings don't mean that we should all give up on medical education.
No, of course.
I think what it means is, A, that we need to do more work in understanding how education works and how transphobia works and permeates our care so that we can acknowledge this bias we have when learning about and then when treating trans and gender diverse folks. And so I'm still a huge believer in education. We have a set of educational modules that can be found out on the University of Michigan OBGYN department website that are open access to train providers to care for transgender people. But I think on the other hand, as we move through continuing to figure out ways to better teach ourselves about transgender health, we need to do a few things. We need to acknowledge our implicit bias and sometimes explicit bias, because you can't address it if you don't acknowledge it. My personal opinion is that it's also about how we teach it, in the sense that as long as we'll continue to separate transgender health and LGBT health in our curriculum from all other health-related content, then we will be perpetuating the othering of trans people that is created by that distinction in medical education. So one proposal would be to integrate LGBT health content, transgender health content into all levels and layers of medical education. I think it's important to remember that, of course, all of us in medicine and healthcare, we're products of our society. And when society is transphobic, we're going to be also affected by that. And so we need to look that straight in the eye and address it. On the other hand, medicine is not just an innocent bystander of societal transphobia. We in medicine, we are the source of the pathologizing identity of transgender people through the DSM. We create and conceptualize ideas of sex and gender in society. And so we have a responsibility and ability to reframe how we teach sex and gender and what normal human variation is. And I think that will be a very important step towards addressing transphobia among medical providers and improving our knowledge and our care.
Thank you very much. I was actually going to ask you one other question, but I think that's actually the perfect note to end on. So I'm going to instead direct our listeners to the paper itself if they want any additional details. As a reminder, it's called Transphobia Rather Than Education Predicts Provider Knowledge of Transgender Healthcare. You'll find it in the April issue of Medical Education, and the individual who's so compellingly arguing that education is necessary but not sufficient, whose voice you've been listening to, is Daphna Strumza. Daphna, I very much appreciate your efforts in this area as well as you taking the time to tell us about them.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.